September 8th, 2008, it's the Lullabot Podcast. It's episode 63 of the Lullabot Drupal Podcast. We get together every couple of weeks and talk about Drupal. And I'm Jeff Robbins. I'm here with
Angie Byron
and
Nate Haug,
as well as
Addy Berry,
and not to mention
Kent Bye.
It's Team Lullabot, and here we are again. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
How are you?
Well.
You guys, well, some of you just got back from Szeged, Hungary. I know how to say it now. I feel very proud of myself.
Nicely done.
Yes. And so we thought we'd do a little, you know, kind of let people know what they might have missed if they might not have been there, or a little recap for people who went to DrupalCon in Hungary, you know, keep people tapped in. We like to try and keep people tapped in on the podcast. Plug them in. Turn them on. You know, keep them going. Perpetuate the motion.
The of the ocean.
Let's see. So first we'll do a little news and announcements, as we try and do at the beginning of these things. You know, it's not always like very organized, but you know, we have a little outline that we try and cover. First up, everybody should know, Lullabot, we have our Do It with Drupal seminar coming up, December 10th through the 12th at the Marriott Hotel in the French Quarter of New Orleans. You can find out all about that at doitwithdrupal.com. There's some early bird discount kind of things that are happening, and it's starting to fill up, and it's very exciting. Very exciting, like large scale conference kind of event that we're doing, and we're really excited about it. We've got some really great people. We just added John Resig to the bill. He's the founder, creator, author of jQuery. He's the J in jQuery, in my opinion. We've had him on the podcast a few times, and he's a super duper guy, and he's going to come down to New Orleans, and we're going to talk about jQuery and Drupal and stuff like that. And we've got lots of other people as well. So, yeah, go check it out. Doitwithdrupal.com. We'll continue talking about that between now and December. Immediately, though, next week, in Portland, Oregon, September 15th through the 19th, we've got our usual sort of workshops kind of thing that we do. We oftentimes will do two workshops in a week, and this week we're doing a theming workshop and a module building and API workshop, and you can find information about that at lullabot.com/training. I think you can find a link to the Do It with Drupal conference there, too. If you wanted just one URL, if you were like that. So anybody got any other announcements?
Yeah, we could talk about the Lullabook. We haven't done that in a while. Lullabook actually has a title now, which is
both on Amazon.
Shocking and amazing. And
so you don't just walk into the bookstore and ask for the Lullabook.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That doesn't work so well. So it's called Using Drupal. It's on O'Reilly Publishing, and it's due out, we hope, in December. We're working our butts off right now to just try and finish up the last little bit of editing so that it can get off to the copy editors and they can do their thing and stuff like that. You can read more about it on usingdrupal.com. And I just want to give a big shout out to Ivan Zugek. I apologize if I'm murdering the pronunciation of that, but Ivan was awesome. For those who don't know, this book title changed like 15 different times. Well, that's exaggerating, but a lot along the way. And so this was the one that O'Reilly decided upon. And of course, we didn't have that domain name. We contacted him. We were like, oh, please, is there any way that you could help us out? And he just gave the domain to us. And that was awesome. So really, Ivan, thanks a lot. We really appreciate that. And rock on with your bad self. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Ivan. We'll buy him a drink next time we see him. If we ever see him. Have we met him? Where does he live? Someone buy him a drink. Find him.
Find Ivan and buy him a drink.
Find Ivan.
His name is Cyan. Yeah. His old site had a bunch of nice tutorials and stuff on it, and you can find them still at Zugek, which is ZUGEC.com/Drupal. We'll also make an announcement on the Lullab blog about this too. So, you know, but check it out. He's a great guy, and figure out where he lives and buy him a drink.
And Angie, thank you for translating that into American for us.
Yes, well, I know. That's very, very unnerving when I break into my Canadianisms. Eh?
Eh? John Van Dyke's book is out. We had him on the podcast a few weeks ago, and he was saying that it was finished and it was off and in process. And also, he happened to mention that it was awesome. But Pro Drupal Development version 2, which now covers Drupal 6, is out. Out. Also, you can find that on Amazon. And also, you can find a link to that at Lullabot, because, you know, we like linking to things. There's actually a link to it right on our homepage. Or I believe so, or it's somewhere nearby.
Actually, the URL for that one is drupalbook.com.
There you go, drupalbook.com. Right, of course. What else?
Yeah, the lynda.com, it's Lynda with a Y. They do different training videos, and they just released a big training series on Drupal, sort of an introductory administration series, but it's actually like 7 hours long, and it's the lynda.com does subscriptions, so you either get like a month subscription, or usually they also sell the eventual DVDs anywhere from $50 to $150, so they haven't released that yet, but yeah, that's pretty exciting to have another sort of Drupal training for people just getting started. So it's pretty comprehensive. So
right on. And this actually in the news a few weeks ago, we mentioned that Angela Byron, aka Angie, aka Webchick, aka you, won an award at the O'Reilly Open Source Convention as what was it? Best contributor.
Best contributor. That was pretty awesome. It was like Leslie Hawthorne from Google was in charge of like kind of wrangling the whole thing, and so she sent me an email and she said, you know, make sure that you're in the audience during that event, you know. And I just figured like, oh, okay, well, of course they want everyone who's nominated to be in the audience, you know, so we can all have our souls crushed at the same time. So anyway, they were listing off some people, like they listed off the guy who invented Samba and rsync. And then, of course, like me, Matt, and Addie were all like, we love rsync. rsync is awesome. And, you know, and then Chris DeBona, who was giving the announcement, said, okay, I'd like to call Leslie Hawthorne up to give this next one. And then, you know, I kind of started to say, uh-oh, you know, because Leslie and I are, we go way back, man, all the summer code stuff. And anyway, so she got up there, and then she started saying, you know, this next person is involved in Summer of Code, and is, I don't know what she said, because I was, like, freaking out at that point, because, like, Matt or Addie or somebody turned around and said, hey, did you prepare anything to say to everybody? And I was like, oh my god, no! Anyway, so, yeah, so then she started saying wonderful things, I'm sure. And I, anyway, and then she, my name appeared on the board, and I kind of ran up there, and I don't even know what I said. I was really nervous, but I think I remembered to thank, the Drupal community and, Google and Lullabot, and then, like, my family and stuff like that. So, and then, you know, people in the Drupal community were nice enough to make a post on Drupal.org, and there's, like, bazillions of replies to that, and it was just really humbling to see that many people just like really come up to bat for me or so. I don't know. It was like amazing. And I haven't responded to that post yet, and I need to, but I was just kind of overwhelmed at the time, and I've tried to like say thank you in a way that would be articulate and, you know, whatever, enough to express what I'm feeling, and I haven't really managed to do that yet. But really, thanks everybody for that. That was a huge honor, and it was really, it was really like a touching gesture and stuff. And I guess Chick's Karoli Nagi, Charlie, he had a lot to do with that, and I've heard comments from others that they also wrote in with nominations for me. So thanks to everybody who had any kind of part to play in that. That was really, really touching. So yeah.
Well, we've always thought that you did such great work, and it's really great to see you recognized for that. So,
and particularly like just the Drupal community, but the open source community, you know, at large, it's you deserve it.
Well, I am a big open source hippie, so there you go.
There you go. Hippie. Smelly hippie.
Hey!
Clean, wonderful smelling hippie.
She smells like soap.
On a related yet sort of unrelated note, and coincidentally, the universe just continuing to shower Angie with wonderfulness, Angie was also named the co-maintainer for Drupal 7 in Seged. So for people that don't know quite how that works, basically with at least the current system is that with each release of Drupal, Dries, who is the project lead for Drupal, the originator of Drupal, chooses one person from the community to have core commit access for that version, and they sort of help out. And Angie is that person for the next version of Drupal, and we're really proud of her.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So you know, at DrupalCon, I got, you know, everything from like, hey, congratulations, I'm really excited, to what the heck were you thinking, you know, kind of reactions to that. I'm really, really excited. You know, I'm kind of putting together a post with like the big vision kind of thing, but basically, you know, I one of the things that I've been able to do over the past year is participate in a lot of the usability stuff that's been going on, and you know, spent some time with Addy from the docs team, and with Christian and Roy Scholten from the usability team, and just kind of kicking around ideas on how we might, you know, sort of address some of the wider usability problems in Drupal. And you know, we kind of came up with a list of things that'd be really nice, you know, to have people work on, you know, stuff like you know, any kind of measures that make it easy for end users to get involved in patch reviews much earlier than they do currently. And we talked about stuff like maybe, you know, infrastructure that will automatically apply patches so that, you know, someone using Windows doesn't have to figure out Cygwin and all this crazy stuff to participate and just try things out before they're committed. And stuff like, you know, getting some sort of a video capture screen sharing tool that we can use in the community to actually test these interfaces on users before they're committed, and we can see if they're struggling so that we don't, you know, try our best to improve usability but then end up taking a couple steps back, which has happened in the past, and just generally involving a lot more people in the development process than we normally do during a release. So these are
all things that you're interested in and think that you can help sort of bring ferry along these ideas, but it's not like you're the one that's responsible for coding them all, is it?
No, and it's also not like I can wave my magical fairy wand and poof, thank you. You know, fortunately, that would be nice. No, really, like a core committer is more about like, you know, sort of, you know, looking through the issues that are in the queue, what are developers working on, what are users really passionate about, trying to match people up so that they're working on, you know, good things, and really encouraging people to keep going on things, trying to isolate those kind of killer features that would really launch Drupal up to the next level and encouraging people to work on it. But ultimately, you know, the people in the Drupal community work on whatever they want to work on.
Right.
So it's more about facilitating that happening, and just trying to sort of guide it a little bit. But it's just about sort of digging in, getting involved in the community, talking to people, you know.
Well, and ultimately the core committers are the people who either will commit things or not. You're sort of the final gateway for stuff to get into Drupal core. And again, we're just talking about Drupal core. We're not talking about all of Drupal. So for people who might be listening who are new, we're basically just talking, you know, when you download Drupal, just that part, not all of the add-on plug-in modules. This doesn't involve that so much, but this is the basic stuff that everything else is basically built on, and that's why it's called Core.
That's right.
Yep. Awesome.
So, I'm excited to kind of start on some of this stuff, you know.
Well, and you're just finishing up the book, Angie.
Right, so there's that.
For those who don't know, I mean, we talk about this as the Lullabot book, but really, in the sort of the last throes of it, it's been really Angie and Addie, who have both been kind of the troopers with it, and it's starting to sort of wind down as this core maintainer thing is winding up, so... Who knows? Maybe it'll be not as trying as the book. Of course, nothing seems to be as trying as I was writing a book.
Yeah, I don't think
it'll be a different kind of trial.
It's a different kind of trying because, like, the book is a lot of, like, sitting in your basement, you know, in the dark, alone.
Is that how you wrote the book?
This is what I go through for you people. No.
You know they've got coffee shops now, Angie.
Really?
With Wi-Fi. And
internet in, like, all kinds of places.
It's sunny and they serve you warm drinks. It's good stuff. I really, next book, I definitely recommend that.
Yeah, but it's just a different, it's a different kind of tons and tons of work, you know, and the core committing process is more, and just getting involved in core in general is more about, it's really quite a social thing. I mean, it's meeting other people, it's collaborating with them, it's, you know, kicking ideas back and forth, it's contributing what you have, regardless if it's like, oh, you know what, that patch doesn't actually work on IE5, or, you know, whatever, or if it's you're missing a comma in your inline comment there, let me fix that up for you, and that. I mean, everybody just pretty much does what they can, and it's just a really awesome process to be a part of. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of work, but it's also going to be, you know, a lot of fun, mostly, I hope. I also, let's talk about this when Drupal 7's out.
Yeah. We'll talk about it in retrospect.
Yeah.
What went wrong?
You know what I said back then? I was back. I have no idea.
Well, let's all go back to when we first started writing the book. Now, what did we?
Oh, yeah.
So optimistic and young.
I have to say, actually, I mean, I'm looking forward to the book wrapping up just to be finished finally. But also, I do feel like I have not been able to engage with the community as much, and that's it's made it more apparent how much a part of my life and my social interaction that is. And so I definitely feel the hit of having sort of withdraw and focus on the book, and I'm really, really excited to get back, you know, fully engaged with the community again. So,
well, it seems like you guys really came back from DrupalCon very energized. So let's talk about DrupalCon a little bit. What was it? How was it? Where was it? I mean, we've talked about that on the podcast before, but let's just refresh people. Where was it, and what did they miss if they weren't there?
You guys missed everything. It was awesome.
It was in Szeged, Hungary. And I know that some people were sort of like, oh, Hungary, language, travel around. But, you know, it was actually, I have to say, it was awesome. Just hanging out in Hungary, we ended up spending a day going around Budapest, and the town of Szeged was an awesome, awesome place to have the conference because it was all walkable. There were a lot of places to eat and hang out. You were running into Drupal people everywhere. It's just a lot of camaraderie and hanging out that happened right there, all around the venue and everything like that. So it really brought the community feel to like 24/7 versus like just while you're at the venue kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's a cool thing. I mean, I think some of the DrupalCons in the past, it was sort of hard to connect with people. And it sounds like what you're talking about, where everything was kind of all in one place, was a really good thing. I mean, I know that when we were starting to organize the Do It With Drupal thing, that was a thing that we really wanted to be sure to do, like have it all in one place so everybody could really connect well together. And it sounded like that happened in Szeged. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And just a lot of work got done, too. Like, some of these things you set out, like, to think, oh, okay, we're going to get all kinds of stuff accomplished, and then all you do is kind of drink a lot and, you know. but no, like, we had a code sprint on the last day. It was, like, code sprint, quote-unquote. There was actually a few different sprints going on. There was a few different code sprints. There were people working on fields in core, so, like, CDK in core. There were people working on writing tests. There were people working on the new database layer that just came in. It's Drupal 7. And then Addy was running a documentation sprint that were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And then there was also a usability sprint for the people who were into sort of improving the user experience of Drupal. And there was also a DrupalCon organizer sprint between the current DrupalCon organizers who did it. Awesome job. And the people who are going to be organizing the next DrupalCon in North America, in the United States, which we're not allowed to tell you.
That's as specific as we can get.
Yeah.
Anyway, but basically, they connected their brains through a series of wires and Ethernet cables and did a big download. Okay, here's what you need.
It was fiber optic, dude. It was
I just totally did the transfer right there.
Nice. Very well. So what are the other things to talk about from the conference? We've got sort of a list of things here. I see the next thing I see on the list is Drupal.org redesign. I've also noticed that when I log on to Drupal.org and I'm not logged in, there's a little block that says, hey, are you new here? We want some feedback because we're doing a redesign of the site. I'm assuming that's related to this. What's going on with that?
Yeah, that's really interesting. So basically, the Drupal Association had an RFP process led by Tiffany Ferris from Palantir, which is a Drupal shop doing really awesome museum sites and crazy stuff. But she led up an RFP process, and some really top firms responded to that. And the one that the Drupal Association ended up picking is Mark Bolton Design, who's big with grid-based layouts and easy to extend CSS and stuff that I don't know anything about, but, was an impressive resume anyway. So they, during DrupalCon, they were there, and Lisa, his associate, was doing user testing right there at DrupalCon. Like, there was a room where people would go in and use the site, and she'd observe and take notes. And so during their keynote, they talked about sort of the general process, where we're going to have various deliverables along the way, and the community will be given the opportunity to provide feedback. And then we get that synthesized and prioritized and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that she talked about was watching people on Drupal.org, when they move around, they don't ever use the navigation. They type in URLs manually.
Right.
So it's true. Like,
I totally watched myself doing that and was so much more aware of it after she said that. It's just like, right.
So how do you find a module? You go to drupal.org/project/whatever. You don't ever actually look for the module, right. Search for the module. So it's like, it was just fascinating to hear some, like, when you get that outside perspective, you know, it's always interesting.
It's like, really? You think that's weird?
Well, yeah. It's just sort of, you work around, you get used to it, you know, and
right.
And that's sort of, oh, I don't know. Yeah, I have a shortcut that searches Google for what I want on Drupal.org, and that's how I find things.
Yep. Yeah, it's like the Drupal.org command line.
Yeah, exactly. you have the cheat sheet next to you, and what's wrong? Yeah, exactly. So it's nice to get that outside perspective. What were the other keynotes at the event?
Well, there was Dries's opening keynote, which, as we know, he announced Angie being the core maintainer for Drupal 7, which was probably the most interesting part of the entire conference, at least for me personally. but there was a follow-up also that I considered really interesting in that presentation. And that was the code freeze date for Drupal 7, which basically the official announcement was that there's no official date. Which, awesome, because, we just now got core co-maintainer. And so historically we've had a co-maintainer the entire life cycle of an entire release, but for this, I mean, we just now got started. And according to the original schedule, code freeze was supposed to happen May 15th. And according to the 100% test coverage schedule, it's supposed to happen October 15th, which is, you know, about a month. And obviously, I mean, out of everything that we need to get done for Drupal 7, very little of it is done. And October 15th would definitely not be feasible even with 100% test coverage. So so the excitement is that that it'll freeze when it's ready, which is when we get in the features that Dries is targeted for Drupal 7 as opposed to forcing through a Drupal 7 release. So it's still kind of a ways off, and people don't need to get scared yet saying, oh, I haven't even upgraded to 5 or upgraded to 6. And
I think we've seen a lot of our clients almost sort of in a panic situation, like people are working on Drupal 7 and we're still trying to get to Drupal 6, and you know, we had to wait for views and all this stuff. It seems to be, you know, particularly from people outside the community for people outside the community who have Drupal 5 sites, I've definitely sort of gotten a feeling of like, whoa, wait, make it slow down.
Right. And so, yeah. So it's good to hear that that's being taken into consideration, and it's actually slowing down a little bit with this release, right. Which I think a lot of people are really excited about.
Yeah, cool. The other thing about this conference, I didn't actually get a chance to go to Hungary, but if you go to tinyurl.com/DrupalCon, that'll forward you to the page that basically has all the videos and presentations, and so Teresa's presentation is actually posted online, and I had a chance to watch it. And one of the things he talks about in there is that the conversion rate is, you know, they have the pingbacks that sort of track which versions people are on. And he said that right now the upgrade conversion is only about like a third of the people are on the latest version of Drupal. So that's certainly one of the things that he noted as something to work on to make that process easier.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's drupalcon.org/program/sessions, or as Kent just said, tinyurl.com/DrupalCon. And if you there's a big table there, and there's actually videos for a lot of the stuff from that conference are already up online. As a point of reference, most of the videos for the last DrupalCon I think went up online like a month ago. Or at least that was when I noticed them. And so this is really great to see stuff up so quickly.
Yeah, they were getting stuff up like the same day or the next day. Like,
yeah, that's kind of how you have to do it.
You finished when I finished, my presentation was the first one the first day after the keynotes. And as soon as I finished, they brought over a thumb drive and said, put your presentation on this right now before they would, you know, let me sort of leave the podium. And so they got that, and then I uploaded that like right away the same day, so the slides were available. And then they just started, as soon as the videos came in, they started processing upstairs and getting them up. And by the time we were having the closing ceremony on the fourth day, they had 50% of the videos converted and uploaded, and which was just amazing. Like, they were just, I mean, we keep going back to this, but the team who ran this DrupalCon just rocked the socks off.
Yeah.
They kicked butt.
Huh. They must have been using hard disk-based camcorders, because the process of, like, dumping a videotape in, that's always the thing that takes so long. And, you know, and especially when you think, like, oh, we got 3 days, 4 days, 5 different rooms. It's like, I mean, it just gets to be a ridiculous amount of time just to run the stuff in real time. So it's great, so great, really, to see this, so. I'm really bummed out I didn't make it there.
Well, you can watch them online now.
I guess I can.
There's just 3 other quick points that I wanted to make from Dries' keynote that I found kind of interesting. The survey that Dries did, he said that the people that took the survey that he ran before the DrupalCon, 80% of them were developers and 20% were end users. So the people that, I guess, is that what that means, Angie? Is that the people that visit Drupal.com, about 80% are developers and 20% are end users?
Yeah, or at least self-identifying that way, yeah.
Right. And those are people that took the survey, of course.
Right. So that was interesting. The other thing that followed on to that is he asked, you know, what percentage of people make money from Drupal versus as a hobby or sort of do something else full time. And it's about split equally, which I found interesting, about a third each of people that Drupal is their main source of income, people who have day jobs and do Drupal but get money from Drupal, or people who just do it totally as a hobby. So that was an interesting sort of stat that he threw out there.
Yeah, I found that really interesting too, because the sense is when you do Drupal full time, you know, your sense is that, well, doesn't everybody? Because I mean, you tend to work with companies that also have Drupal people. You know what I mean? It's like, and if someone is not doing Drupal full time, you know, most of the people I know who are in that boat do that by choice. You know what I mean? They have a university job they don't want to lose, or they have, you know, some other kids or something. You know what I mean? Where they don't want to get into that. So I found that really fascinating too, especially with the developer split. Like, if 80% of these people are developers, you know, and yet only 30% of them are getting paid or whatever the statistic was, I found that really, really interesting.
Yeah, and actually the other part, the other point that I wanted to make that Dries has made was that last year Dries took on a personal project to get more Drupal books, and it looks like he was fairly successful at that, since there's about 10 books coming out this year. So he said this year he wants his personal project to be to get an army of 100,000 Drupal developers. So, you know, to do all different types of things to get more developers out there. So that was sort of the thing that people who were novices and people who were experts, the top thing that they wanted was to have more sort of experienced developers. So I thought that was really interesting. That's going to be a big effort from Dries. So it'll be interesting to see what type of stuff comes from that.
Right on, right on. And Rasmus also gave a keynote. Did any of you happen to catch that?
Yep.
Rasmus Lerdorf, the father of PHP, also spoke at the DrupalCon. What do you have to say?
Well, he gave a pretty comprehensive history of PHP and sort of how it got started and where it is now. Most interesting, he was giving a performance review of open source frameworks based on PHP, and ran them all through paces of how fast these applications could perform versus how fast static HTML could perform. Drupal came in about the middle of the pack in terms of performance, but of course, as many people in the entire audience were sort of shifting in their seats, that he wasn't using the anonymous caching, which is kind of like Drupal's way of cheating, and the way actually Drupal handles about 95% of all traffic on all of the websites that are hosted by Drupal are anonymous users.
I wouldn't call it cheating. It's optimizing, but optimizing for anonymous users, yes.
Right, exactly.
Non-login users, right.
So it'd be hard to say about how fast it would have gone if you would have actually had that option on. One of the slowest performers, he was measuring in terms of requests served per second. And one of the slowest performers was only able to serve about 8 pages per second, versus static HTML can serve about 600. So that one was pretty catastrophic. But he was able to turn on like fast mode in that one, which bumped it up to like 120 or something, which I feel would have been about the same for Drupal. If Drupal was at 50 on the slow mode, and then you turn on caching, and it would have gone up.
Maybe that's a usability problem, that Rasmus wasn't able to find the setting, the fast mode setting.
But it was really interesting. I later attended a presentation that Barry Jaspin had about developer experience, DX, instead of user experience, UX.
Huh.
And going through all of these frameworks, Barry noted in Rasmus's presentation that every single one of these frameworks worked basically in the exact same way. You instantiate a new class, you set title, set body, and then you print it out. And that's the way all the frameworks worked. But when he got to Drupal, Drupal's kind of not like anything else, because I'm actually impressed that Rasmus went to all the effort of going through and figuring out how to make a page in Drupal, because it's not necessarily an easy task. You have to make a module, and you have to say hook menu, and then you have to specify the page callback, and you have to make a separate function for the page callback, and then return like hello world in it. And so it just kind of clarified that Drupal is really not like anything else. Taking all these frameworks, they're all sort of, they don't do very much, versus Drupal, you get it and it already does all of this stuff. Which it reinforces things that we already knew, that Drupal isn't like other things, and maybe that's one of the reasons for its popularity. Anyway, it was just a really interesting point.
Did those things seem better or worse, or less usable from a developer standpoint, or just sort of acknowledging maybe that you're not leveraging the knowledge that some developers may already have?
Right. Well, the only thing that Rasmus really pointed out was that he generally doesn't like frameworks at all. So that was interesting to learn. and his favorite ones, he said, were the ones that did the least. So I imagine Drupal wasn't very high on his favorite list of, you know, pieces of software, but that's just because Drupal provides you with all kinds of things that these other frameworks don't even come close in comprehensiveness.
Right.
Yeah, that was my takeaway from Rasmus's presentation.
So Nate, are you excited about Drupal? I can't really tell because, you know.
I didn't have an answer. I thought that was rhetorical.
So what else? Yeah. What else did people like myself miss?
The testing party.
Yeah.
You know me. I love a testing party.
It was not no. See, there were pancakes, and we're not talking like regular pancakes. We're talking about pancakes that have like filling in them, you know, like rolled up with like chocolate or like vanilla cream in them. And then there was like mountains of chocolate bars and stuff.
Yeah.
So other than the pancakes, you want to explain to people what a testing party is?
So I'd love for like a marketing person to come up with an actual term for this, because awesome testing party is not very catchy. But anyway, maybe choco testo or something, I don't know. But anyway.
Maybe take the word test out of there, because, you know, for me, in high school in particular, well, in college as well, you know, testing.
So it's just the awesome party.
Awesome pancake party.
There you go.
Also testing.
Also testing. With a special guest testing. But so the way it worked was, so I was totally swamped on the way running up to DrupalCon, and I knew I wouldn't have time to find like a sponsor and stuff. So basically I put a plea on my blog to say, oh please, if you come to Seged, bring chocolate with you. Because the idea was we would, you know, everybody bring like $5 worth of chocolate or something. We'd have this big mountain of chocolate. And then basically once people completed a test, they could get a piece of chocolate was the idea. So everybody got there and we split the room into pairs, basically. If you watch the video, there's quite a bit of futzing around, but we finally figured it out. But so we kind of basically in pairs, one person who knew how to write either a test or a patch, and another person who didn't. And sort of basically the idea being to, you know, pair one experienced person up with one less experienced person and just spread the knowledge of how to contribute to core. And then we had a bunch of index cards with all of these kind of low-hanging fruit tests that need to be written, pass them out, and Chicks bought some pancakes, and once you found a partner, you got a pancake. And then I just, you know, we kind of did a short little demonstration. We said, okay, go, you know, and so people...
Find a partner, get a pancake.
That's how it goes. That's how we roll, baby. So, you know, me and a bunch of people who've been involved in the QA process up through Drupal 7 were just kind of wandering around answering questions and, you know, kind of, you know, people raise their hand, we run over, we'd see what they are having issues with and stuff like
so
that.
So this is coding unit tests rather than the usability tests. Yeah. Right, got it.
Correct, yeah. Automated tests for Drupal Core.
And we talked about that. We have a whole podcast about that, right, Angie?
We do. Yeah, a podcast that consists of me going, oh my god, it's so cool! Blah! You know, like people getting totally lost, but it's fun! If you're into that kind of thing. but
it's always more fun with pancakes. Everything is.
Everything is more fun with pancakes.
It really was.
So anyway, I had a couple of like sort of grand prizes. Relative.be donated like a couple 1 kilogram boxes of like really good Belgian chocolate, and Palantir got some bars of like just fantastic Viennan chocolate, and you know, it was just like, so these were like the grand prizes, and we had maybe like, I don't know, 6 things that we were planning to give out as grand prizes. And at the end, I asked people to raise their hand if they'd gotten one test written. And I expected like 2 people to raise their hand. And instead, half the room, oh, by the way, there were like 85 people there, which was also way beyond my expectations, because I was hoping for like 10, you know? So yeah, there were 85 people there. Half the room raised their hand that they got at least one test written. And everybody else raised their hand to say they almost got one test written. And then there are maybe 2 or 3 people who raised their hand when I asked, you know, are you totally lost and don't really understand what's going on? So I felt bad about that, but that's better than the opposite. So yeah, it was like really productive, and it was a lot of fun. And so I ended up giving away the grand prizes on the last day of Code Sprint, and just kind of had a big pile of prizes and said, hey, if your name is on this list and you're still here, come get your stuff. And so,
and then they were just handing out chocolate generally to everybody at the sprint.
Yeah. So a couple of those 1 kilogram awesome chocolates went to like the usability team and the documentation team, and yeah, it was great. I think that's why the sprint was so productive, because we had all that.
We have chocolate powered sprint.
Yeah. But no, that was a lot of fun. There's some things I do differently next time to make it a little more, like, maybe organized and streamlined or whatever. But, like, for first stab at it, it was actually, like, a lot of fun. And I think people had a good time. I hope they did. But, yeah.
Awesome.
Ta-da! Awesome party.
Testing party! Woo! What else? You did, there was a documentation sprint, right, Addie?
Yep. That was awesome.
Was it a well-documented sprint?
Well, it's funny because I had sort of done an impromptu documentation sprint in Boston where I was just sort of like, hey, we should do this. And then we all just sort of got together and went, I don't know, what are we going to do? And so this time I actually did try to plan it more ahead of time. And we actually had a BOF or Birds of Feather session earlier in the week to help, you know, come up with a list of things to do and stuff like that. So we actually had tasks lined out to do. And a lot of people came. And the coolest thing is that, so we had like this task list of stuff, and we got a lot of them done. But the one of the things that really excited me is that we sort of set up, here's some stuff to do, and then people just sort of went off and did their thing and started helping each other and other people. Like Niels Baum was awesome. He just like took over, you know, one whole task list of things and organized people to make sure we got it done. And so that was really awesome, you know, because it's a lot of running around and a lot of people asking questions and stuff. So it was really hard for me to sort of stay focused and on task. And everybody just took the ball and ran with it, which was really, really exciting. And, you know, it's just energizing. I mean, it's the same thing for the code sprint. For any of these sprints, you get a whole bunch of people together, all focused on one thing, and you accomplish a lot of stuff, and you gain a lot of momentum. There's a lot of camaraderie. A lot of chocolate was involved. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm excited. Like, I'm lots of new ideas and lots of cool stuff and lots of great people who are doing a lot of cool things. And it just makes me feel like hopeful, you know, like the future is bright for documentation, you know, and like it inspires me to work harder and do more. So I hope that some of that is how other people felt too. And so we did get a lot of stuff done. Another cool thing that we did, just, you know, that I can announce, because it's one of the things that's important to me, is a lot of people just don't realize that there is actually a documentation team and there are people working on documentation. A lot of people just feel like it's sitting there and it's like, oh, documentation sucks and, you know, nobody's doing anything, you know. It's like, well, there is a group of people who are working really hard to try and keep up with the massive, you know, documentation that we have. And so I created an announce only group on groups.drupal.org, which is for, it's at http://groups.drupal.org/documentation-team. And basically, it just I'm going to summarize stuff that's going on in our mailing lists, issues, important issues that we're addressing and stuff like that, so that people can actually see, A, that we're working on stuff, and also see how they can get involved, and that you don't have to be like a mass, you know, some great writer. You don't have to be able to author wonderful help text in order to help with documentation, and that there are lots of different things that are going on. So the other cool thing about that group that now is that we have an RSS feed. So people just sort of want to, you know, sort of passively check in every so often. You don't have to, you know, hunt and peck and try and figure out where stuff is to get information. So anyway, that was a really cool thing that came out of that as well, which I think is going to be pretty neat. So.
Cool. Any other just sort of like trend kinds of things that you found people talking about a lot?
Funny hats? No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Like, there was a lot of energy around around fields and core. That was a huge topic. Getting like some semblance of CCK right into core, and there was actually a team working on that coding sprint. Nate, you know more about that than I think everybody. Did you want to talk about?
Yeah, and basically, the mentality is, while CCK has already been around and it's tested, and we know how to use it. And so many websites use it, why not go ahead and just take that and put it as it is now, pretty much exactly how it is now, directly into core. And there was some resistance against that at one point, because people were like, well, you know, in the Drupal 6 version of CCK, it made a lot of progress, but it didn't quite go far enough. The API isn't quite perfect yet. But then you look back at it, the history of Drupal, and when 4.7 came out and the Forms API was in it, it wasn't really quite perfect either. And that hasn't stopped us from reworking the entire Forms API in Drupal 5, and then reworking it again an entire another time in Drupal 6. Basically, the mentality shifted from, well, we already know that CCK works as it is now. Why not go ahead and put it in, since everybody uses it anyway? And then if we need to make better API improvements, then we'll do that in the next version of Drupal Core. So with that in mind, there was a lot of momentum behind making this happen. Yeah, it's really exciting. And Barry Jaspin from Acquia is sort of taking the lead on it. And I heard whispers from Dries, and maybe Angie might get in on this. I haven't heard from her, but I'm just suspecting that Drupal 7 probably, it's not going to get released until this is done. We've got things that are really important for having this killer release that we're really hoping for, and Fields and Core is one of them.
Wow.
So there's already a patch in the queue.
And currently, when CCK first came out, you were unable to create new node types with Drupal Core, and now you can. And that was sort of half of CCK, was this ability to create new content types, and then the other half of CCK is the ability to add on fields onto those content types, right? And so this is basically the other half of CCK, which would then get into core, and basically we wouldn't need to refer to CCK so much anymore. It would just be sort of Drupal's content building system.
It would just be fields, yeah. Which all of that's pretty exciting, because you know, when Drupal 7 does come out, you're not going to have to wait for CCK to be upgraded, because it'll be part of it.
Exactly. And where this stuff is headed eventually, and it remains to be seen whether this is like Drupal 7 or Drupal 10 or whatever, but they're aiming towards, once they get, you know, what CCK does now is it lets you attach arbitrary fields to any content type. But other things, like, for example, web form and profile module and, you know, all these other things are implementing their own separate types of fields that they don't share between them. So the idea that we're going to eventually is making fields sort of a central object concept in Drupal. So you could attach fields to potentially anything. I mean, there could be a contrib module that lets you add fields to taxonomy terms or something. I don't know why, but I'm sure someone can think of a reason why that should be. And we could do, you know, field level access control instead of node level access control. So instead of blocking access to the entire node, you could have the granular level of being able to block access to only one particular field on one particular operation, or just a bunch of crazy stuff like that. Like there was a sort of data architecture sprint back in, I want to say like March or something. It was earlier in the year, where Barry and Larry Garfield and a few other people just kind of sat down to sort of think through what this might look like. And Karen and Whitehead from the CCK project were there too. And so this is sort of the first initial baby step that gets us, you know, all along the way there. If we get that core functionality in there, then we can pretty much build from it and iterate on top of it as we have with the Form API and the node system and other things in Drupal.
I think another thing that sort of ties into that too is the new sort of database layer as well. I think this maybe you guys could talk a little bit more about the new database layer in Drupal 7 as far as using CCK fields to be able to import and export data more easily. And I heard Dries sort of mention that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know anyone who's working on that specifically, but that would definitely be killer. Because one of the biggest pains in the rear with Drupal is deployment. You know, like taking things and moving them from one site to another. So if we had the ability to, you know, this generalized fields API, you know, everything you enter into Drupal is done through a form field, so we could potentially do some crazy things with that. If we had the ability to suck things out of fields and then import them back in on another site, that would be killer.
Is this the same as the PHP data object stuff, the PDO database mm-hmm. layer stuff?
Yeah, that's the new database layer stuff. It's sort of like our old database abstraction layer, but supported by way more than the Drupal community. I haven't had a chance to dig into it too much yet.
There's some really interesting and crazy things where you can start to use other things. You can start to read from other things as if they were database things, like you could read from a CSV file or, you know, and potentially write back to a CSV file instead of database and some other stuff like that. James was talking about that. I think maybe, was it on the podcast? Or was I just talking to him off the podcast? I don't remember, but yeah, it's really interesting stuff where you can, it not only abstracts the database layer from between Drupal and the database, but it also abstracts what is a database. And you can start, you know, reading in XML files and crazy things like that. So interesting. I don't know too much about it. I know enough to start to mention some things and hopefully get other people talking about it. Ha ha ha, PDO.
Let me tell you about PDO, James.
So PDO, which is already in, it's in Drupal right now in the next version that will be Drupal 7.
Oh, cool.
Right. This is pretty much separate from the fields conversation, which, you know, is not yet done. But this basically has allowed us, like, right now, we've still got the drivers for MySQL and Postgres in there, like, built into core. But now, the task of making Drupal work with things like MS SQL or Oracle, or SQLite, which is sort of that text field database thing mm-hmm. That Jeff was talking about, all of that becomes a really simple task. So now, in theory, Drupal supports Oracle. We haven't yet seen someone write a little driver to make it actually happen. But unlike our previous implementation, where it was just kind of, it was not really quite a true abstraction. It was just a different include file that we'd pull in depending on what the database was, and then we'd call a different function. Like this is actually a level of abstraction that actually works across all of the database systems that PDO supports, which is a lot more than Drupal on its own ever would have been able to accomplish.
Yep.
Oh. The other thing that I found really interesting from Dries' speech is he kind of like lays out his top 10 or 13 things that he wants to, you know, shoot for Drupal 7. And I was wondering if Angie could maybe talk a little bit about some of those, like usability, media handling. Obviously, we already talked about fields and core, but there's on his list is views and core, a WYSIWYG editor. Maybe you could talk a little bit some of that stuff and where it's at and where it's headed.
Sure. I mean, something that he did is he kind of posed the same questions to both like the end user and the developer segments, you know, about what are your top features that you'd like to see in core. And although naturally, you know, the WYSIWYG editor was really high on the user's list, and I don't think it appeared at all on the developer's list, it was interesting to see there was a lot of overlap. Both audiences really want to see usability improvements, which means things like, I mean, you just have a lot of mental disconnect with what users expect. The biggest and most prevalent problem is explaining what a page is, because for people who work with Dreamweaver, a page is everything from the upper left-hand corner of the browser window with the logo in it all the way to the lower right-hand corner with like the copyright information. But in Drupal, a page is just the content in a page. On certain pages, but not all pages. And, you know, it's just like, it gets very, very confusing for people. So, you know, just addressing some of that mental model shifts. And also, like, a big thing that you see here in this list are things like, you know, CCK in core, views in core, a WYSIWYG editor in core, you know, media handling. What he's essentially done is he's taken a look at the top X modules that are used throughout Drupal and kind of saying, you know, what we ought to do is we ought to include some of this in the base installation. Because, you know, obviously with flexibility to swap things out if you need to, but making the basic installation of Drupal a little more full-featured so that, you know, we don't get into this sort of dependency problem on this really core architectural stuff that almost every single site's going to use. So they can actually start building basic sites or more, you know, even not just basic sites. Like right now you can build really basic sites like with a forum and a blog, but you can't, you know, create an event, for example, because there's no way to add a date field onto a content type without using an external, you know, module. So kind of pulling more of that stuff into core, which is pretty much made possible by the fact that we're slowly gathering a whole lot of automated test coverage. And what that lets us do is make these kinds of changes without worrying, oh my god, did we just break something? You know, we still break stuff for sure, and our test coverage isn't complete, and you know, there are bugs in the testing framework and bugs in the tests and stuff, but if we make a sweeping change, we run the tests and they all pass, we have a lot more, you know, of an idea that, okay, if that did break something, it's probably something more obscure because all the basic paths are already covered. So it really gives us a lot of flexibility to kind of take Drupal 7 a lot further than the previous releases, because in the previous releases you're just wasting so much time fixing obviously broken stuff that, you know, people should have caught while they were doing the manual testing and things like that. So things that you see in there are like better media handling. You know, for right now you have to download image module or image assist or IMCE or something like that to be able to really insert an image into a post unless you type HTML by hand. And nobody really does that. And in fact, the University of Baltimore did a usability study and saw that one of the biggest problems that people had is they got to the edit form and they were clicking into all these settings that had nothing to do with anything because they were trying to find the toolbar that would let them put a B tag in there. You know, and so they were going into like publishing options and they were going into input formats and all this because they couldn't figure out why they couldn't click a little B to make it bold. So it's just one of those things that users expect nowadays, to have WYSIWYG editing and have the ability to easily insert images into content. So the goal is to try and get some of that core expected functionality that 90% of users expect into the base system, but still keep the flexibility to swap things out if you decide, you know, I don't like the default WYSIWYG that, you know, core gives me, I want to use TinyMCE or something like that instead.
Sure.
And the other things on this list include things like easier upgrade functionality, performance improvements. This kind of stuff is just, you know, things that make Drupal more robust, make it less susceptible to security problems, and just in general, like the main focus is like making for people to give it most of the functionality that people expect out of the box. So you really are only coming to contrib for stuff that's not in the 80% of what you need to do to build the site. And then expand it out to make it, you know, so it's easier for developers to extend. So that's sort of the overall goal. Of course, none of this is set in stone or anything, because it all depends on what people step up to work on. But if you're interested in working on any things on his hit list, you pretty much are guaranteed a one-on-one audience with a core committer if you work on that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's really good to do.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question, Kent? Sorry, I was.
It's exciting. Jeff or Nate had mentioned that the code freeze has moved back to at least January of next year. And it's just exciting to see this list and to see that, you know, things may actually get to that point. So
yeah, we'll post a link to that list in the podcast notes, and if anybody wants to go and review the list, Angie's saying, it's surefire Drupal stardom to solve these problems.
You'll have a throng of adoring fans.
Exactly.
That, like,
yes. If you want to make a name for yourself in Drupal, this is the good way to do it. Yeah.
It's the hit list.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's wrap it up. Anybody have anything, any parting words, any last bits? Anything in Hungarian that you learned to say?
Eden.
That's a name.
Pardon? What?
Yeah, we didn't really pick up a whole lot of Hungarian. It was it's definitely not an easy language. So, but a lot of people I didn't really find the language thing to be a barrier. A lot of people knew at least basic English, and you know, a lot of pointing gets you really far. So.
Well, the next DrupalCon will be in North America, and so definitely, you know, pointing works here too. So pointing and grunting, I think that's the especially if it's in the U.S. a lot of pointing and grunting.
Just don't point with the wrong finger.
That's okay. the only closing thing is just thanks again to Gabor and Christoph and everybody who was on the volunteer team there running things on the ground. You guys did an awesome job, and just thank you so much. It was great. Best DrupalCon ever.
Totally.
Rock. Well, on that note, thanks everybody for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.